This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to discuss a joint investigation by today's guest, ProPublica's Andy Kroll, and Documented's Nick Sergey, that reveals how a network of ultra-wealthy Christian donors are spending nearly $12 million to mobilize Republican-leaning voters and purge more than a million people from the rolls in key swing states. The goal is to tilt the 2024 election in favor of Donald Trump. These previously unreported plans are the work of a group named Ziklag, a little-known charity whose donors have included some of the wealthiest conservative Christian families in the country. They include the billionaire Uline family, who made a fortune in office supplies. You might even get those Uline cardboard boxes when you order something. The Greens, who run Hobby Lobby, and the Wallers, who own the Jockey Apparel Corporation. Recipients of Ziklag's largesse include Alliance Defending Freedom, which is the Christian legal group that led the overturning of Roe v. Wade, plus the national pro-Trump group Turning Point USA. Joining us is Andy Kroll, an investigative reporter with ProPublica, a nonprofit news organization that publishes hard-hitting journalism in the public interest. He's the author of A Death on W Street, The Murder of Seth Rich and the Age of Conspiracy. Hi, Andy. Thank you so much for joining us again.
It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for this piece. Also, you and Nick write, ProPublica and Documented obtained thousands of Ziklag's members-only email newsletters, internal videos, strategy documents, and fundraising pitches, none of which have been previously made public. So how did you first learn about this group?
Nick and I have collaborated on pieces before. This ProPublica Documented partnership is not new. We both had been reading a lot about the growing prevalence of Christian nationalism and how Christian nationalism was coming into play with the election this year. How could we find an angle on Christian nationalism in 2024? Nick had seen a stray mention of this group, Ziklag, in the past and thought maybe that was our way in. And so we started doing reporting, we started digging, talking to people, asking about this group, pulling all the documents we could find. And ultimately, as you pointed out, you know, we managed to amass this huge trove of never before seen materials about this organization, Ziklag, which is a private, confidential, invite only network of ultra wealthy conservative Christians, and really pulled back the curtain for the first time on a group that has really major ambitions, not only for the 2024 election, but also for trying to change American culture over a span of decades.
These documents reveal the group's 2024 plans and a long-term plan to underpin every major sphere of influence in American society with Christianity. In the Bible, the city of Ziklag was where David and his soldiers found refuge during their war with King Saul. A strategy document that lays out their 30-year vision says we are in a spiritual battle and locked in a terrible conflict with the powers of darkness. They plan to, quote, redirect the trajectory of American culture toward Christ by bringing back biblical structure, order, and truth to our nation. So is this a 30-year vision that starts now, or has this group been around for a while?
This group has been around for about 7 or 8 years. Hmm. It started as a different organization. It started as a group called United in Purpose, and it had a sort of broader goal of just getting more evangelical Christians active in the civic space. But in 2016, one of the co-founders of this group, actually a Silicon Valley investor, to bring it bring some local Bay Area flavor to this fellow named Ken Eldred, decided that he wanted to create a space for these ultra wealthy Christians to come together, pool their ideas, pool their resources, and try to change the trajectory of the country. He wanted for conservative Christians what the Koch brothers had already done for billionaires and millionaires in business who were trying to impose a more libertarian anti-government vision on the country. That, you know, the Koch brothers and their network had been around, and this gentleman, Ken Eldred, decided that he wanted to do something similar, but for Christians, and with the goal of not trying to make America a more business-friendly place or to slash regulations all over the place, but to make it much more Christian. And so in our story, we're looking at this group on two levels. We're looking at its 2024 work, which is notable and important to follow and could have an impact in this election year. But then at the same time, we're looking at, based on all the documents we obtained and reported on, this 30-year plan that I guess would be at least 5 or 6 years in the works to try to conquer what they call the seven mountains of American culture. And we can get more into that, obviously, but this is really a long-term vision to try to bring what they call this biblical worldview, biblical truth, to a place of influence in every major sphere of American life.
Can you tell us more about this Silicon Valley entrepreneur, Ken Eldred?
Sure. Yeah. It's, you know, people, I guess, might think of Silicon Valley as leaning to the left or even in a libertarian sort of direction. I mean, that's kind of common knowledge. But there are also conservative Christians who have made a large amount of money in Silicon Valley. So Ken Eldred is one of them. He, I believe, in the late 90s was even named Silicon Valley's Entrepreneur of the Year by a local trade magazine. So it was Eldred and then a venture capital investor named John Mumford, who originally had this idea for the group that I mentioned, United in Purpose, the sort of predecessor to Ziklag that was just about getting more evangelical Christians civically engaged. And then Eldred takes the idea even further in 2016 to create Ziklag. And so it's interesting that this group actually does really have its roots in Silicon Valley. I'm not sure Eldred lives there full time or even at all anymore, according to some of the sources we talked to. But in some ways, Ziklag has its roots in the Valley, but has since spread to include members who are scattered all over the country and members who are well-known families like the Uline family out of the Midwest, Office Supply billionaires. They've funded this effort. The Hobby Lobby family, the Greens, who are also members and funders of Ziklag. And then another prominent family, the Wallers, also a Midwest family, may not have heard of them by name, but most people have probably heard of the Jockey Apparel Company. The Wallers are the owners and run the Jockey Apparel Company, and they're members of this group as well.
You write that Ziklag has largely escaped scrutiny until now. The group describes itself as a private, confidential, invitation-only community of high-net-worth Christian families. According to internal documents, it boasts more than 125 members that include business executives, pastors, media leaders, and other prominent conservative Christians. Potential new members, one document says, should have a, quote, concern for culture, demonstrated by past donations to faith-based or political causes, as well as a net worth of $25 million or more. None of the donors responded to your requests for comment. So these are very wealthy people. And as you write, for this election, they are planning to purge voters from swing states. Can you first tell us more about how they are planning to do that?
So according to the documents that we obtained and reported on, Ziklag has a very explicit plan to put a significant amount of money, high six figures, possibly even into the seven figures, to fund something called Eagle AI. Eagle AI is a software that emerged in the last couple of years that makes it easier for individuals to challenge the voting eligibility, voting registrations for voters on a mass scale. What I mean by that is one person in, say, Georgia can challenge the voter registration of hundreds or thousands or even tens of thousands of individuals on the voting rolls. Eagle AI, according to its own promotional materials, has said that it uses AI technology to analyze these huge lists of voters and to pluck out the supposed fraud or possible fraud that will then allow people to mass challenge voters and to potentially get those people removed from the voting rolls. And there's been well-documented problems with this Eagle Eye software and this process of mass challenges to voter eligibility, but it is absolutely a tactic that the quote-unquote election integrity movement, really folks who have questioned or outright denied the results of the 2020 election, it's a tactic that they're using in the 2024 election in these key states to try to challenge voters and to get people knocked off the voter rolls. And as we saw in these documents from Ziklag, the group is putting money into this effort. And they even say, as we write in our story, that you know, they lay out very explicitly how many voters they think they can knock off the rolls in about a half a dozen key battleground states. If you add it all up, it's, you know, just about a million people. A million people in six battleground states could easily determine the outcome of the presidential election.
We have to definitely do more shows about this, but for people who are not familiar with Eagle AI, because there's so much going on, I just found a piece over at The Guardian in February, and they say it offers a tool that streamlines challenges to voter registrations, pulling data from both public and purchased information. It allows anyone to investigate potential errors on voter registration forms with a few clicks to attach evidence of alleged disqualifying mistakes. Eagle AI automatically fills out challenges to registrations. A local volunteer downloads and emails them to their county election board. A successful challenge stops a person from voting unless they re-register. This is really an important point for the media to repeat over and over again in the coming months, Andy, because I have been seeing people on Twitter say, I'm not on the voter roll. Everybody check your registration. So what are your thoughts on this? Are election officials aware of all of this? And then can you talk about the media's role in really educating people and raising awareness about the importance to check your registration on a regular basis?
I do think it's incumbent on news organizations at the local and national level to not only report on efforts like Eagle AI to try to challenge voter registrations and remove people from the rolls. And I should add, too, there have been analyses of Eagle AI and other initiatives like it that suggest that people's registrations in some cases are being challenged unfairly, that the process is not exactly ironclad and identifying supposed errors or supposedly ineligible voters. So there could be people who are removed from the voting rolls who have every right to be there, but are being challenged using this potentially flawed software. But also the media has a role, absolutely, to inform voters that there are steps that they should take. And I'll use this moment to do that myself. There are steps that they should take to check on their voting eligibility, the status of their registration. It's pretty quick and easy to check that and to make sure that you are up to speed. You know, I'll give a plug to one tool called TurboVote. TurboVote is a nonpartisan, nonprofit tool that you can sign up for. It's very handy. It checks your registration, reminds you when all of the elections in your area are, the big ones, but also the local ones that maybe you didn't even know were happening. And it sends you these very neat and quick text messages as well to remind you about registration deadlines and things like that. So I would check out TurboVote. That will help you catch these kinds of things ahead of time and ensure that everyone who wants to vote can vote.
This is really important information. Thank you for sharing this one. TurboVote.org. Be sure to check your registration there. And then if you know anyone in swing states, be sure to share this information. And we're going to do a lot of shows about this in the coming months, especially before ballots arrive. Today, we're joined by Andy Kroll, an investigative reporter with ProPublica. Andy and Documented's Nick Sergey are out with an important investigation, which you can find on our website. Go to kalw.org, click news, and then your call. It's called Inside Ziklag, the secret organization of wealthy Christians trying to sway the election and change the country. So we talked about what they're planning to do to get voters off the rolls in swing states. Tell us more about their plans to fund ballot initiatives in seven key states, Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Michigan, Montana, Nevada and Ohio, that takes aim at the transgender community by seeking to ban, quote, genital mutilation. The seven states targeted are either presidential battlegrounds or have competitive U.S. Senate races. None of these initiatives are yet on the state ballot. So tell us more about that plan.
It's important to understand the context to this anti-trans ballot initiative strategy that we unearthed in our reporting about Ziklag. Your listeners have probably already heard this, or if they watch Fox News or listen to conservative talk radio, listen to the sound bites coming out of conservative politicians, they will probably have noticed a recurring pattern of anti-trans statements and policies. That is not a coincidence. It's not random. There really is a concerted effort to use the issue of trans rights and gender-affirming healthcare to motivate conservative, well, I mean, probably to spread some kind of fear or concern, and then use that to motivate conservative voters who maybe aren't as excited as the base voting on the right would be about Donald Trump's candidacy this year. So you're seeing this anti-trans sentiment sort of just in the ether on the conservative side of the political spectrum. What we revealed in our story about Ziklag is a very intentional strategy to use that anti-trans sentiment and to translate that into these ballot initiatives, something your listeners who have voted in California elections will know well. Ballot initiatives are a staple of elections out there. Use ballot initiatives that kind of whip up that anti-trans sentiment to motivate people to come out to vote who maybe weren't motivated otherwise to vote for Donald Trump at the top of the ticket. And what's really important about this is, one, it's symptomatic of a larger trend at work, but also this group Ziklag, as we write in the story, is a 501c3 charity. It's the same kind of legal designation as the United Way, the Boys and Girls Club, or even ProPublica. 501c3s cannot get involved in politics. They are, quote, absolutely prohibited, as the IRS puts it, from political intervention. But what we reported in our story is the ways in which Ziklag's leaders explicitly talk about how these ballot initiatives can, quote, deliver swing states. That's what one of Ziklag's spiritual advisors, a fellow named Lance Wallnau, says in a video that we reported on. So they're talking very explicitly about the swing states that are going to be targeted and how these ballot initiatives can deliver the swing states. Now, they haven't had much success getting these ballot measures on the ballot yet, and so this may all be a foregone conclusion at the end, but it does give you a very, very revealing look at this issue of transgender rights, gender-affirming care, and how conservatives are using that as almost sort of a boogeyman issue to turn out their own voters.
As you report, Lance Wallnau is a prominent Christian evangelist and influencer based in Texas. And he explained in a members-only Ziklag video that transgender policy was a wedge issue that could be decisive in turning out voters tired of hearing about Trump. He said the left has won the battle over the, quote, homosexual issue, but on transgenderism, there's a problem and they know it. They're going to want to talk about Trump, Trump, Trump. Meanwhile, if we talk about it's not about Trump, it's about parents and their children and the state is the threat, that could be the target on the forehead of Goliath. You know, I have to say, Andy, I think what's so devastating about these plans is that the media have to report on this, but talking about trans people like this has consequences. And I just want to, you know, acknowledge that there's violence against trans people. And this kind of language has consequences. Every Town for Gun Safety found that in 2023, there were 35 homicides of trans and gender expansive people. 80% of those were with a gun. Black trans women face the bulk of this violence. So it's really hard for us because we know we have to talk about this, but there are consequences to what these people are doing and saying.
Without a doubt. And we don't report these kinds of things without taking all of those considerations into account.
Right.
You know, at ProPublica, we have an extremely rigorous process to make sure that everything we report in our stories is of the highest value to the public, to our audience, to audiences like yours on the show here. And we wouldn't put something in a story that we think could be harmful if we didn't believe it cleared that bar in terms of the public interest. In this case, we do believe that revealing what this wealthy organization and all its wealthy followers are saying in terms of demonizing trans Americans and trans rights in service of a larger political goal. You know, we're taking something that's being said very explicitly behind closed doors in a way that is not articulated out in public, and we're bringing it out in the public. And so, you know, again, we don't report these kind of things lightly, but we do believe that it's in the public interest, including in the interest of our transgender readers, our transgender audience, mm-hmm. everyone out there who is directly affected by these kinds of statements. We feel like arming them with this information is in their interest, the public interest, the interest of lawmakers, the interest of the IRS, which oversees groups like this. But rest assured, of course, you know, we every single word that goes into a story like this, we debate and we go through a really tough vetting process to make sure that right. it should be reported.
Yeah, no, I completely hear you. I think it's so important to get this out there. But it's just important to also talk about the consequences, because just out of respect for everyone listening.
Of course.
Going back to the 501c3 issue, this is so important. We only have a few minutes left. As you report, Ziklag is not a political organization. It's a 501c3 tax-exempt charity, just like the Boys and Girls Club. ProPublica and Documented presented the findings of this investigation to 6 nonpartisan lawyers and legal experts. All expressed concern that Ziklag was testing or violating the law. Lloyd Hitoshi Mayer, a University of Notre Dame law professor, said, "I think it's crossing the line without a question." So, what happens now? I mean, you uncovered what this group is doing, and yet they're tax exempt.
And I just want to say, too, that tax lawyers and tax professors are usually a very circumspect crowd. They don't often speak in such declarative terms, but the experts that we presented our findings to were very clear in believing that the findings that we brought to them showed that this organization had stepped over the line for what a 501c3 should be doing or should not be doing as it relates to politics. It's our job to take this information, to get it into the public, to talk to the right experts, and to put it forward so that an agency like the IRS, which oversees these 501c3 organizations, can potentially take some action in response. We can't obviously make them do it. That's not our job. But it's unlikely that a group like this is on the radar of the IRS or on the radar of elected officials in Washington until someone like ProPublica and Documented come along and put the issue in the discussion and put this out there. And we know that people in the federal government read our stories. We know that people on Capitol Hill, especially on things like taxes, read our stories. And so our job is to get it out there. And I feel confident that the right people in the right places will be reading this journalism and trying to respond to it in some way.
We have about a minute left, Andy. Beyond 2024, purging voters from swing states and then ensuring that Donald Trump wins the election, Walnow called Trump's time in office a, quote, spiritual warfare presidency. What is their end game beyond this election?
The end game is a country in which this biblical worldview and quote-unquote biblical truth is the guiding influence in every facet of American life. And in our story, we see how this breaks out in a bunch of different ways. But biblical influence in government, education, arts and entertainment, business world, science, technology. I mean, as one expert we quoted in the piece said, this is a quote-unquote a Christian supremacy kind of vision. And that is the ultimate end goal here. And, you know, we're out of time, but I would encourage all of your wonderful listeners to check out the story and some of the actual documents that we found we put in the story. And you'll understand with even more clarity what they mean.
Well, it's a very important story. You can find it at ProPublica's website or our website, kalw.org. Click on News and then Your Call. Andy Kroll is an investigative reporter with ProPublica. He wrote this piece with Documented's Nick Sergey. It's called Inside Ziklag, the secret organization of wealthy Christians trying to sway the election and change the country. Andy, once again, thank you so much for your important work and thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Rose. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering our show. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.